To have Marshall with us this morning. First time I'd met him. Very good to make his acquaintance and glad he found our church. Not many people will search out a small Baptist church and attend it anymore, especially young men. So I appreciate that, and I hope and pray this will be a blessing for him, a blessing for me. I need a blessing too. We will be looking at James chapter 2 today, and I have already related to you that James was speaking to, mostly his message was to Jewish Christians, and may I remind our minds that at the time that James was written, they had a New Testament church and no New Testament. And when Jesus left, when he in Acts chapter 1, he had the disciples, the 11 apostles gathered around him, and they said, "Lord, will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time?" Now, that kind of seems strange to American Christians today. I mean, we say, man, you know, we've lasted almost 2,000 years since that. But as I said a while ago, they did not have a New Testament. What they had was the Old Testament writings. Now, don't get me wrong, Old Testament writings are the Word of God. And you can read the Old Testament and derive the sovereignty of God. You can derive the total loss of mankind, his depravity. You can derive that from the Old Testament. You can even derive that a suffering servant was coming. But they did not know his name, except in Isaiah it said his name should be called Emmanuel, which is God with you.
Right.
Well, when Jesus came, and it is recorded in the book of Matthew and also in the book of Luke, how that Jesus came into the world. And for the first time, the angel told Mary, "Thou shalt bear a son." She was a virgin.
Right.
And yet, "Thou shalt bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Now, Jesus is a holy name among us today. It's a blessed name. There's no greater name. But Jesus is a derivative of Joshua. And Joshua was the deliverer. So we have a deliverer today, and I said all that to get to James. James was, the Lord left the 11 apostles with the responsibility and the authority to teach, New Testament Christians until we had the canon of Scriptures. I believe that's right. And so we find things in the book of Peter, the book of James, the book of Jude, that's truthful. They are truthful. They're good words. But in some cases, they don't really line up with our practices today and the way that we discern some of Paul's writings. And Paul said more than once that he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, apostle, the root word of apostle means teacher. Now, I know when we say apostle, we usually, our mind goes to apostolic gifts, and I believe in apostolic gifts. By the way, there are no apostles in the world today. And I don't care what Benny Hinn says. There are no apostles in the world today. They passed away. The Lord had a reason that He gave those 12 men gifts of healing, raising the dead, and miracles, and even speaking in tongues. And that has passed away. People that teach speaking in tongues today do not read 1 Corinthians 13 and 14. It's very clear in there what's going to happen to tongues.
Right.
So So I just say those things. But we are going to look at some things that James had to say. And like I said, let me repeat myself. What James says is good stuff. And really, the book of James, if you read it totally, it is talking about the integrity of being a follower of Christ. It talks about the integrity that men ought to have when they proclaim that they're a Christian. And I'm sure you and I, sometimes we do not follow this integrity as closely as we should. So, well, for you visitors, I got down to verse 14 last Sunday, or the last time I taught, wasn't last Sunday, Sunday before last now. And this has to do with faith. And I hope and pray that we can get what this chapter, what these group of scriptures has to say about Christian faith. Now, can I remind you that the first verse of chapter 2, if you'll look at it, it says, My brethren. Okay? Now, when you meet Church of Christ people, that's going to be important. That's going to be important. My brethren is who he's talking to. All right? Okay, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren? And there it is again. Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Now, if I read my Bible correctly and if I've got it rightly divided, there's two kinds of faith. Not that it's on anything else but Christ, but there is saving faith, and then there is living faith. See what I mean? I mean, when you first get saved, if your experience is like mine, you didn't know anything scripturally. What you found out when you were under conviction, after hearing the gospel, the Holy Spirit let you know how lost you were. And I say this all the time. I was raised at an independent Baptist church, country church. And the preacher preached all the time evangelistic plus doctrinal messages. And I grew up, got about 14 and something went to bothering me. The preacher would say, "You're lost." Well, I had a group of boys that we ran around with, a small group, and we would talk among ourselves. Now, we wouldn't talk around the preacher. But we'd talk about ourselves, say, "Well, I want to get saved. I don't want to go to hell." And say, "No, I don't either." And so people, you know, once in a while, somebody would say, "Are you lost?" And I would say, "Yeah. Preacher said so." Now, I'm driving at something right here. When I got under Holy Spirit total conviction, I mean when it bothered me, I was uncomfortable. I trembled at the Word of God. And when God, the night I got saved, the Holy Spirit removed all doubt in my heart if there was a hell. He removed all doubt in my heart of where I was going. And so I cried out in despair. And so I am saying that to let you know that God gave me faith to believe in His Son right there, because I found out how lost I was. And I'm like Brother Chris, he said a while ago, "Well, you go through religion in America, and I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved." Well, that's a religious term today. Now, in the Bible, you know, when these, like the Philippian jailer, he came in trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He wasn't talking about religious saved. He was talking about soul salvation. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to criticize anyone there, but I want us to get a clear picture of what that means. What does the Bible mean to be saved? It means that we are saved from our sins. See, and it leads me back to the subject of depravity. See, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the writers declare there is none good, no, not one. When Paul was saying that in Romans chapter 3, he was quoting out of Psalms. See, there's none good, no, not one. And I like that. Ain't that good that even the New Testament preachers taught out of the Old Testament? That's good. Okay, there's none good, no, not one. So if there's none good, no, not one, and I know, and I catch myself, you preachers, forgive me, I catch myself teaching against things that's going on in the world today. Oh, well, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm okay with those terms if they're used scripturally. But I'm not okay with them if they're used religiously. Okay? And so we have to discern that. All right. So what profit, my brethren, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Okay, now, who stands here to profit? In these scriptures, who stands to profit? The person in need, right? Okay. So, but James has given us the Christian attribute of how we should treat others. Faith. You know, I got faith. You know, be helped. And can I say this to you? When I see someone in destitute, my flesh wants to say, be helped. But I find when I study this, that's not what I'm supposed to do. Totally. There has been times that people have come here and they'd sit down, usually sit on the back, wait till the church is over, and come up and say, and have various tales of their life, of how it's, and you know, we would say, well, did you hear what the preacher had to say today? And usually, you know, they, oh yeah, but I'm here to get some help. Well, sometimes we help them. Chris and I took a person over and got some groceries a couple of times, but he quit us. You know, we kept saying, man, you need to come to church. You need more than groceries. Now, maybe you do need some groceries, but you need more than groceries.
That same guy you're talking about, I seen him about 2 weeks later with the holiness pastor down the street in the Little Caesars. So he's an e-turf top.
Okay. Well, you know, we never know if we're entertaining angels or not. You see what I mean? And so I try to help some if I can. Once in a while the Lord say no, they're you know, and I can't explain that. I just tell you. But if they come by, well, I usually try to do something to try to get them to come here, you know. In other words, can I say that? James is saying, don't be a Christian in word only. Don't be we got a lot of people that sits on the bench and they sit at home and they say, boy, killing these babies is really bad. Oh, they're really bad. And they are. But are we doing anything against it? Huh? Oh yeah, I talk to my neighbor about it. I talk to my Christian friends about it. You see what I mean? Now that's just one example. Having faith. See, if we say, be healed or I hope you get some good things, Is that really what God wants us to do every time? See? We are supposed to do something besides, my old preacher used to have a term. He said, sit on the stool of do-nothing. Sit on the stool of do-nothing. All right? Okay. He went ahead to say, I think I got to verse 17, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now, you can be a saved person, but if you do not reach out some way, somehow to others, how do they know you're a Christian? You see what I mean? You see what I mean? Now, I'm not blowing my sails. I've got a lot of faults in this area. Okay? But I'm just saying, James is talking about Christian integrity. All right? Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? Don't that make sense? See what I mean? Chris and I are dealing with a lady over here. Got a large family. And I'm going to introduce Brother Bell to her and her family. I plan to. And she called me out of desperation. Oh, I saw y'all sign, and I was just wondering if you'll help us some. And I'm thinking, well, lady, what's your problem? Well, and man, she had a stack that long. Y'all have heard the excuses. I said, well, now, I tell you what. Let me come by and see you. Let me come by and visit you, and I will see what the church can do for you. So I went and visited them. And as far as I could tell, they were not all hopped up on dope. Now, they were typical sinful people. But I went in and I had a talk to her and looked around a little bit. Yeah, it was a poor house. And I'm okay with that. Because that's where we're supposed to go. And I said, is it all right if we have prayer? And she said, yeah. I said, all you kids get up here. I got up here and held hands and we had prayer. Then Brother Chris went back and did the same thing. And I invited her to church. Well, she's still got some needs, and we're still helping her, but she did attend. She's attended twice now. And I'm hoping that the Lord will get a hold of her. So she's got some teenagers, and they were respectful from a standpoint of just seeing me for the first time. You know what I mean? And so I want to reach out further to them. And again, I'm not bragging on me. I take it as an opportunity. You see what I mean? Now, we can't operate on what my head thinks. My head thinks, well, you know, people come in here and they'll sit on the seat and a preacher will preach an evangelistic message one time and they'll get an altar and get saved. That's what we hope. But you don't see much of that anymore. See? Because, and I think it takes time for us to work on them. You see what I mean? It takes time. Can I say this respectfully? The day of Pentecost is over. From a standpoint, we're going to see hordes come in. I'm sad about that. I said Wednesday night, one of the saddest scriptures to me in that Bible is where Jesus says, wide is the gate. And many, I'm paraphrasing, I don't quote it exactly, wide is the gate, and many go in thereat, and straight and narrow is the gate that leadeth to life everlasting, and few there be that find it. Now, I'm honoring the Lord, I know it's true, but isn't it sad for humanity? The Lord is forecasting. See, not many going to make it. And this stuff you see on television, everybody's going to heaven. Don't you believe that?
Right.
Don't you believe that?
Amen.
God is not, God does not, can I say this to you? God does not need me.
Right.
I need Him.
Yeah.
Every man needs Him. And without God, without Christ, and I say this all the time, and Peter said in, is it chapter 4, verse 12, "For there's none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved." Again, I'm paraphrasing. I don't do well memorizing precisely, but I get the point. See, God made no other provision to save humanity. And it's especially preached in our dispensation, but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the only provision. There's not salvation in any other. And I know people get up on TV and they say, "Well, Jesus, give me the power to save," and shake somebody, and whatever the outcome is. What they're really wanting is you to send them $100. And you can tell them I said that if you want to. But God, now you say, "Well, Mr. Pollard, do y'all believe in healing?" We believe in healing. We believe in healing. We believe in God healing. In fact, can I say this to you? Everybody's healed physically. God does it. But He uses His own means. See, I go to a doctor. But you can go to a doctor, and finally, he's going to fail. You see what I mean? And why is that? It's because we're depraved. See? Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Now these people on TV that lives above sin, you hang around a while, they're going to die. They're going to die. Well, wait a minute. If they don't have any sin, the Bible said sin brings forth death. If they're sinless, why do they die? Right? That's right. See, and I'm not being critical here. I'm just saying that's the facts. That's the facts. See? It's pointed out a man wants to die, and that's not all of it. Then the judgment. See? When I was lost and the Holy Spirit was dealing with me, I dreaded death. But a great dread came over me when I thought about meeting God in my lost condition. And isn't that what Jesus said in John, is it 16, that the Holy Spirit is going to do? He said, "I will send a comforter." Well, wait a minute. Who was He talking to when He said that? He's talking to His disciples. It's going to be a comfort to them. But what about the world? He said, "He," that's the comforter, "would reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come." He's going to reprove them. In our dispensation, that's the way it is. He reproves man of sin, righteousness, judgment to come. He reproved me of all them, and seem like, brethren, forgive me if I'm out of form with this, but judgment to come was what He really pressed my button on. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Judgment to come, man. If I could just, if we could just get these people around Center Rose community here to believe judgment is coming from God. See, judgment is coming. And now, you know, we're getting a group that believes in no God. Oh yeah. Yeah, they had a get together up here not long ago. Atheist. Well, had a story. I hardly ever tell stories, but this guy had an atheist, and this Christian man kept talking to him, and he was an older man, and he said, "No, there ain't nothing to that God stuff." He said, "I'm doing fine." Well, the old man got a chronic illness and was on his deathbed, and this Christian went in there and sat down. And that he looked over and said, "What are you doing in here?" He said, I'm in here to see how an atheist dies." And okay. So that to me that makes a point. If there's not any God, did Brother Chris read something about that this morning?
Yes, sir.
Let us eat, drink, And one another place it says, be merry, for tomorrow we die. See, if there's not any resurrection, if there's not any hereafter, if there's not any judgment, let's do what the flesh wants to do. Is that right? Does that make sense? Okay. But see, God deals with you after you're saved as a Christian. He deals with you and you go into what the Bible calls sanctifying life. Now I say sanctification is a journey, not a destination. I work on it. I've worked on it for 60 some years. And I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. Okay? But the Scripture works on saved people to make us Christians. Now, what's a Christian? Well, according to the book of Acts, it was Christ-like. Right? And most of us, when we're saved, we're not very Christ-like. Now, I'm not saying you're outlaws, but we've got a lot to learn, don't we? See, okay, that's where I'm coming from. Okay, let me address what I just said. Verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Isn't it wonderful to know that we've got a Savior? Let me read something for you. Let me turn you real briefly to Matthew chapter 8. This is where I'm coming from. Matthew chapter 8. Let me focus you to verse 28. I'm at Matthew 8, 28. And when He, now this is Jesus, was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, I don't pronounce that correctly, Gergesenes, thank you. There met Him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before our time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. And so the devils, get it now, the devils besought Him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away in the herd of swine. Isn't that wonderful? When Jesus was in the world, the devils were subject to Him. The devils! Now I believe, you don't have to believe this, I believe right now the devil is the second most powerful force, him and his emissaries, the second most powerful power there is. But when we read that, we see that he's already overcome by the Lord. He's already overcome. He's not going to go conquer Satan. He had him right where He wanted him all the time. That's right. For us. Now, He was already Lord. He was already Lord. See? Now, don't that make sense? I mean, who are people serving today? Are you serving the lesser power? Or are we serving the greater power? See? Like I said, we had some atheists to meet Oklahoma City not long ago and had some kind of little old get-together up here. All right, I'm back in James now. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? See what he's saying? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son up on the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Let me ask you something. Did Abraham have any faith before he offered up Isaac? Sure he did. Sure he did. Did God know Abraham would obey? Sure he did. Sure he did. But you and I didn't know it. You and I didn't know it. Now we know it, right? And so James is giving Abraham as an example of how his faith was made perfect by his obedience to God. See? Was faith made perfect. Alright? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, the Bible did say that in Genesis. And it said that before he offered up Isaac. That's right, isn't it, preachers? Abraham believed God and it's counted him righteous. Okay? Okay. You see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. And I think again what James is addressing is the fact that man, your fellow man, cannot see your faith except you display it before him.
Amen.
See what I mean? Now, Church of Christ people, they take this as, and when you talk to them, they take this as you proving to God that you got faith. You have to prove to God you got faith. No. God knows everything.
Amen.
Having this, He knoweth them that are His. Yeah. See, God knows who's His and who's not already. See, God is a discerner in thought, and the thoughts of the heart. And the Spirit is a sharp sword that discerneth, cuts a soul, cuts asunder soul and body. So he's a discerner of the thoughts. Was it David that said he knows our thoughts from afar? And so you see, God knows everything. He knows what we're thinking. Therefore, he knows everybody that's in false belief. Because he knows our hearts. See what I mean? Verse 24, I think I read that. Let me read again. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. See? Now justified there means you are justified in your Christian living. See? By what you do. Be you doers of the word, not hearers only. I think we've got a lot of hearers only. Not criticizing, just noticed. Okay? Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Like I said, I've talked to several Church of Christ people and when I'd say, well, now let me talk to you. You believe in salvation by grace only, don't you? No, I don't believe that. I believe in salvation by grace through faith.
Amen.
So you gotta watch that because they're setting a trap. And so when I'd talk a little bit about faith, they would always run me to James chapter 2. One of them, I said, wait a minute. Talk about faith? Why don't I run you to over to Romans chapter 5? What has Abraham, our father, found pertaining to the flesh? See? Now you want to talk about saving faith, go to Romans chapter 5. You want to talk about living faith, come to James chapter 2. I think that's right. See? Well, that's why they get messed up. They go to the wrong place to talk about faith. See? As I said, one of them, you know, and he just assured me that you've got to prove to God that you've got faith. See? Now I feel sorry for him because that's not the Word of God. You are saved. Now what does the word saved in the English language What does that connotate? Safe? Safe? I think it does. Safe. Now, it's appointed unto man wants to die after this the judgment. Do you want to be safe from that? If you do, get saved. See? Not if my good outweighs my bad when I get there. And I had an uncle that was a speaker for them, and he would just, oh, if my good outweighs my bad. And so you have to discern, I think, the difference between Christian living and salvation. You could not do anything good. You could not even go to a battlefield in the military and win the Medal of Honor and God save you. Because that's not God's method. See? Told some people not long ago that spoke to them. People all the time, I want to go to heaven, I want to go to heaven. And I said, well, if you get under conviction, if you're like most people I've spoken to, you try to make a deal with God. Well, now, God, if you'll save me, I'll do this and this and this. I said, I don't know. I'm pretty sure it'll work with you like it worked with me. God said, the only deal I'm making is my son on Calvary's cross. That's the only deal I'm making. God does not make any other deals for salvation than the death of his son on Calvary. He died that he might save us from our sins. Praise God. All right, my time is up. Anybody got a comment or?
According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, once you're saved, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.